Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Seth Hurwitz,
who is here to talk about the anthem and Meriwether and all the great things he has going
whatever
on.
Whatever you want to talk about.
Whatever you want, sir.
Ask me anything.
Thanks for coming in. All right, well, there is so much we could talk about. So let's first, you mentioned Lorde and why you just had her here. That's probably one of the biggest acts you've ever gotten here. Talk about why this place over anywhere she could have gone.
You know, that was one of the first shows we booked, and it was very significant because we booked it before the place was built, a long time ago. She was supposed to play the arena. It's an arena tour. In fact, she talked about it all night when she played here, but I don't think she even knew the reason why she was playing there exactly. You know, we built the anthem with big production. I mean, it's able to accommodate arena production. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because we wanted to get a lot of arena shows to play the anthem. Everyone loves seeing a show in a small place, don't they? I mean, mm-hmm. people love seeing being up close. I mean, everyone knows that. So we wanted to go after a lot of big shows and say, hey, why don't you play here? And we went after Lorde. That was one of the arena shows we were working on at the time and said, look, we're building this really cool place. Why don't you play here? Her manager said, all right, well, you know, if it fits, sure. So the production fit. Not all of it, but most of it. And
when you say arena show, I just want our listeners to know, I mean, you're talking about something that you normally would come to like Capital One Arena.
Exactly.
Like the big stadium
exactly.
arenas. Yeah,
exactly.
But now, you guys made
now
it so
I, that they I, were... I, you know, Ted Leonsis is a good friend of mine, and I'm sorry, Ted, but, you know, I got mouths to feed as well,
But why do they feel comfortable being able to fit all their staging, all their production value into it's an intimate space, but you can still fit it? Is it because the stage moves in and out?
Well, so here's the thing. You know, the sound and lights you can fit in, and we built the place, designed it so it would accommodate these big productions, sound and lights, video screens, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the thing we didn't think about was that a lot of these big shows bring their own stages. Mm-hmm. So we're all set to announce the show, and the night before we were going to announce it, we get this frantic call from the agent with Lorde saying, hey, we got a problem. The stage isn't going to fit in. She brings her own stage. Mm-hmm. And I called up Monty Hoffman, the guy that built the wharf and everything, and I said, Monty, did we build the stage yet? And he said, no, not yet. And I said, well, don't. So what we did was we didn't actually build a stage. We have a stage that can be removed, a temporary stage, because a lot of these big shows have their own stages. And now, because of Lorde, we didn't build a permanent stage, and we can remove our stage if we need to and accommodate the bigger shows. So Lorde brought her own stage. If you saw the show, it was all this cool moving stuff.
So you think that is the draw for these big acts, that the fact that they can bring their own their stage in there? Or what else do you think it is?
You know, bands want to be sold out. Acts want to sell out. They want success. They want to turn away people. Who doesn't? And they want to play and reach their audience. I just read an article in the LA Times recently about when acts started playing arenas in the 60s and what a weird, unique thing that was, and how some bands thought that was cool and other bands thought this sucks. I mean, this is not what I made music for. This is not what this is supposed to be. Some acts embraced it. Queen was one of the first acts to really build their production to reach the person in the back row. Mm-hmm. Whereas apparently the Grateful Dead didn't like it at all and thought this is not music. But
fine line between selling out and selling out.
Yeah, but then again, they liked paying for their houses, you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
it's that's where the big money was. Yep. But the small act, you know, as I might have even mentioned this on our last interview, but the people that invented the idea of the underplay. So what is the underplay? The underplay is when a big act plays somewhere that is obviously too small.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being to create this crazy hot show where you turn everyone away.
And an exclusive atmosphere, like Green Day at 9:30 or
exactly.
something like that.
But you know who invented that, if you think about it, was the Rolling Stones. They were the first ones to do these surprise shows in small places. The first time they did that here, they played the Warner Theater, and that was insane if you were there. It was like these shows where it was just, did that really happen? It was crazy. I saw them at Toad's Place in New Haven, tiny 600-seat club. They were rehearsing in Connecticut, and they went and did a gig there, and it was just crazy.
So for you, it's sort of that concept of you want to create a feeling of exclusivity, that it is a more intimate venue, but these huge acts and I mean, in sports, you hear about it. They're like FedEx Field is having a trouble selling out with the Redskins because it's so huge, whereas RFK was an exclusive field that was rocking the place.
Yeah, I mean, if you went to Green Day at 9:30 or if you saw the Foo Fighters at the Anthem or at the 9:30 even, you know, you know what that's like. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the largeness of a stadium show is also very exciting.
Yeah.
No question about that. My favorite show ever was the Rolling Stones at RFK Stadium, July 4th, 1972. That was great. But, you know, to see a band in a small place is very exciting. Now, that's not the only purpose the Anthem serves, as you know. It's also just a great place to see bands that have gotten bigger than the 930 and used to play a lot of these venues around town that were not built for music. So we've solved this decades-long issue, as long as I've been doing shows, where bands have been playing places that were not built for music. So the last time I was here, you asked me this question. Why did you build the Anthem? What is it for?
That was when it was opening. Yeah,
we hadn't opened yet, and I told you, I told you why we did it. There's a button here called cough. Now, I coughed without pushing that button.
It's okay,
so I didn't even need to push the button to cough.
That's only if you're live, man.
So, when I was last here, you asked me what function this served, and it was to fill this void that there hasn't been venues of this size built just for music, and we built it just for music. And, you know, the bands are showing up now and playing and saying, you know, there's nothing like this. This is truly unique, and wow, I can't believe this. So it's been very exciting.
I want to go a little more into that. It's interesting how you said that, you know, it's because there were all these places that there wasn't a venue like kind of this size and around town. I guess where I'm going with this is I want to see sort of how this fits in the overall landscape of the city and music. I mean, yes, there was smaller clubs. You had 930 Club as well. But where do you see live music going here? Do you plan on building more? I mean, how does Pearl Street factor in downward next to you guys?
Well, Pearl Street's a small club down the street, and they don't really.
It's a different ownership.
Yeah, oh, okay. We have nothing to do with it. I mean, that's just a small club, which small clubs are fantastic for our business and our culture because bands need a place to get going and play in front of people, and there's nothing but good about that. Mm-hmm. So the more small clubs, the better, really.
Yeah.
So
there, you think there'll always be a place for a place like that or your U Street music halls or smaller ones.
Yeah. People need to get out and go see live music. And, you know, especially if you've ever discovered a band when they're small and followed them to when they get big enough to play the Anthem or a stadium or Merriweather. You know, it's very exciting to follow a band like that.
Do you have plans to build any more going forward?
You know, it's been such a crazy success that people ask me, we certainly don't need another one in Washington, but people have sat down with me and said, so, you know, why don't you build these around the country? Because they're really needed in every city. And I agree they are. That's not me, though, personally.
Right.
I'm not a growth
kind
of guy. It's just not my thing. I don't need another one. I'm fine. I'm not a more kind of person.
Right.
So, which is probably why I never sold to any of the big concert companies. So, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. So what we're doing now is just trying to make it better and better and better. Some of the lessons we've learned actually from the Anthem now we can apply to the 930 as far as making crowds happy, making people happy, and I just want to do what we're doing better.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that? I mean, I don't need, why, if I build another one of these in another city, doesn't that take my attention away from this one?
Exactly.
And what good is that?
And you got great options here already, so let's just, actually, maybe this is where I'm going with it, is the four you've opened around here, 930, Anthem, Lincoln, and of course, Merriweather, the tried and true up the road. What would you say in your perfect world of sort of, you know, spreading the love around to all your venues, and what would each is niches be, I guess? What would be the niche if you had to like put a one or phrase answer to each? What do you hope that each of those will do for the city?
Well, I think they're already doing it. I mean, the 930 Club is the place where you can go and see a band up close at a reasonable ticket. You know, we try to keep the tickets down there. And fall in love with a band and check them out on that level. And that's where you start your honest relationship with an act. I say act instead of band because they're solo right. performers too. But sure. Act is a showbiz term, but it's band, performer, artist. Right. And you can really go there and be comfortable and have a great experience and see a band and check them out. See if that's, get a relationship going with this band and see them again there. If the band gets big and too big for the 930, mm-hmm. Now you have a place where you can go see them and hopefully be as comfortable and treated as nicely mm-hmm. and feel like it's still, you walk in, you're left alone, you can walk around, you can go up close if you want, you can watch from further back if you want, and mm-hmm. it's still a great experience. You can get something to eat that's pretty good if you want, and reasonable price drink and things like that, and just have a great place to see the band mm-hmm. when they've gotten bigger, because bands get big and they need to make a living too, and they mm-hmm. go on the road and they're successful, and now they need to make money and play bigger places.
Sure.
So now a band gets really big.
Yep.
Well, then they got to play Merriweather, unless it's cold out, and then maybe they do a couple nights at the Anthem. So that's my world. Yeah. That's my little ecosystem.
The Lincoln, where does that?
So the Lincoln is a place where sometimes people bands want to play, where people can sit down, or they've played the 930, they want to do something different. Mm-hmm. Because nobody wants to do the same thing every time. The Lincoln is a beautiful venue. It feels like a special night out. You know, it's somewhat, it's nice. It's luxury. It's mm-hmm. it's a, you know, yeah. who doesn't love an old theater? And it's very, it's just special. I love going in there. I always feel like it's a cool place to go. And it represents, in Washington, of course, it represents a lot of history. And you feel like you're in old Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Because you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a cool old place, and it's a privilege to run that place. It's the city owns it, and we run it, and it's just, you know, I want to feel like every time I go to one of my shows, I want to feel like it's something special. I want to feel like when I enter, it's something truly special and exciting. I want the bands to feel like that. I want the audience to feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
I never want people, the bands or the audience, to feel like it's mundane or that this is routine or that it's just business. I want everyone to feel like this is a special night tonight.
Awesome. Well, we briefly touched on Merriweather, and in the interest of maybe getting a couple pieces out of this.
There's a couple pieces lying around on the ground, actually.
Already. that's what I wanted to ask you about. Nice segue there. So M3 is coming up, and I know my colleague Rita Kessler and I are kind of going to tag team a little preview of that. But I know one of the big questions a lot of people have is, you know, tell us, remind us exactly what damage happened and where we are in the recovery and how you got it ready to go for this fest.
Well, you know, we've been renovating Merriweather in big phases, and one of the big phases was raising the roof. So everything had been taken out of the roof anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just the shell really left. And so it was up being raised, and I woke up one morning and there was an email from Gene, who runs the place, saying, the roof collapsed. And I was like, all right, well, let me finish what I'm doing that morning and I'll come back to that email. And I was like, okay, roof collapsed. What does that mean? No, it like collapsed. I said, what do you mean collapse? She said, like done, like flat, you know, on the ground. I said, so can you send me a picture? And there it was. It was on the ground, flat, and there was no more roof. So, but it's like, we always take situations and make them for the better,
mm-hmm.
as anyone might, I think. So that roof was going to get renovated anyway. And if you've ever done any kind of renovation or remodeling, you know that it's actually easier just to start over. So, did the demo work for us, and we're building it, and we're able, we salvaged most of the material and are able to rebuild the Frank Gehry. I don't know if people know this, but Frank Gehry, very famous architect, designed Merriweather, and that roof, that iconic roof, that trapezoid that floats mm-hmm. over the seats mm-hmm. is a Frank Gehry design. He came and visited a few years ago, too long ago, which is really cool having him out there. And
so it's all going to be good to go for M3?
Yeah. And,
is that the first big test?
Yeah. No, I saw about a month ago. It was already up, everything back up in the air, and it's all going to be good. And in fact, being able to redesign it and now instead of trying to fit some of the stuff that we're doing that I can't really talk about yet, but will be very cool. It's going to be better now building it from scratch, which is steel. And we put his wood thing that he, you know, the slats, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's going to be for the better.
The people that come to M3, they're not even going to know the difference. It's going to look like the same great.
I don't want to say that, but I don't know if it'll be absolutely 100%. I mean, it certainly is all functional and everything. Right. And it was on, by the way, it was on jacks that were lifting it up before, which is why it fell. So it's now on permanent. So there's no no chance of it falling. But and that's why it fell. But it's all going to be exciting. And in a couple of years, you'll see something really exciting there. I mean, you asked me.
Can't talk about it yet.
No, I'm not going to talk about it. But, you know, I want to come back and do more interviews. So,
of course.
You know, you asked me, would I like to build more venues? Well, where am I going to build them? Out of town? No, I'd rather do stuff here in Washington. Right. We don't need another Anthem. We don't need another Merriweather. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do some cool stuff to these places.
Let's just spruce them up and keep them even better.
I mean,
better.
I don't want to leave.
I love it. I love that mindset. Before we cut you loose, in the interest of maybe getting even another, actually the most immediate piece out of this interview, let's talk about, you guys have a really awesome lineup coming to Anthem literally just over the next week. And I'll probably run this piece this Thursday. Starting this Thursday, you have Beck coming Thursday and Friday. You have Old Crow Medicine Show coming Saturday. You have Modest Mouse Monday, and then Alice in Chains
and
next
Haim
Thursday.
Haim is sold out. You know, a lot of these shows you don't hear about because I'm not one to put shows and ads that are sold out. Mm-hmm. I don't. To me, it's like I'm not one to like brag. Hey, by the way, look what you missed. I'm not that kind of promoter.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of shows that people don't even realize because they are sold out. But since you have me here, I'll talk about them. So, I mean, look at this list. It's like Lord Huron, Kygo, David Byrne, Nathaniel Rateliff is now sold out, Fleet Foxes, two nights of Brandi Carlile, two nights of Jack White. I'm sorry, I'm bragging. I don't want to brag.
That's okay.
I really don't. But let me just say this about, and there are so many shows coming up. It's insane. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were here last, we hadn't opened yet.
Right.
And that schedule was already crazy.
Already, yeah.
Because we hadn't even opened, and we had to tell people in our business about the agents and the managers and the bands, like, all right, here's this place we're opening. Have a look. Here's some drawings. Here's things. And we had to get them excited. And most people were excited, but they still had to take our word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're booking the fall, and we've opened, and it's been in all the, you know, on CBS TV and all this stuff. And everyone knows about it. Now it's insane. Now we're having the same problem. Nice problem to have that we have with the 9:30, which is we don't have enough dates for people. It's crazy. Wait till you see all the stuff coming this fall. But let me just tell you the big surprise about the whole thing, really. When we opened, people said, well, I'm sure you're going to do fine, but I don't know about this Wharf thing. And people in Washington, are they really going to go down there? It is so wonderful to see people just strolling along that development. You know, Monty Hoffman did such an amazing job. You know, I watched his thought process, and he thought about all his little things he was so excited about. And we're going to do this on this dock, and we're going to put this stuff here. And he really created a new part of Washington, D.C., and it worked. So you go down there even when there's no show, it is happening. I mean, that scene down there, I think that's the big news, because it was easy to build I mean, building a venue and getting famous bands to play there, that's something that's pretty methodical, but designing, you know, creating this space now where people are just strolling, and I mean they're not even down there with a definite purpose, but just watching people go down there and be social and walking for a lifelong Washingtonian like me. Now, I just came back from Belgrade, and I judge a city and it's the first time I'd been there, and to me, it was like, wow, what a happening place. What a social, you can feel the vibe, the energy.
Right.
And used to go away to places like that you know, the great cities of the world, Munich or Barcelona or mm-hmm. Paris, of course, and you'd mm-hmm. feel this like, why can't Washington be like that? Mm-hmm. Well, now Washington is like that. And Monty just created this part of the city mm-hmm. Where, you know, it is. It's like if someone from out of town came down to the wharf, they'd be like, wow, Washington is so cool.
Right.
And I can't.
Just from seeing that alone, yeah.
And honestly, I have no interest there, and my mm-hmm. venue's fine with or without what he did, but can't give the guy enough credit. He's really created this incredible, and it's all, you know, all the little things he did added mm-hmm. up, and it's just an amazing thing to see and feel down there.
I love it. Could you, and this probably has to be the last one, but could you just isolate this particular week of shows coming up and say something, why you're excited and how you even got Beck, Old Crow, Modest Mouse, and Alice in Chains?
Well, you
why
know,
you're excited for each one?
Well, all those, where would they have played otherwise?
Yeah.
So I think it probably cost Meriwether a couple shows, but they'll be back to Meriwether. They wanted mm-hmm. to play the new place.
Yeah.
They're all going to be perfect. You know, Old Crow is a seated show, mm-hmm. so that demonstrates how now we have a seated place, because the Anthem is also a seated venue, mm-hmm. if you want. We have incredibly nice chairs that we spent a lot of money on to be really comfortable. Mm-hmm. So none of this, you know, cheap folding chair and we set up chairs. When you go to that show, you're going to sit, you're going to be very comfortable. It's going to feel great. And the acoustics, of course, are great. Mm-hmm. So they're all, for their own reason, playing, you know, I don't know how to say it without mentioning where they might have played otherwise, mm-hmm. and I don't want to, like, knock anyone else why they didn't play there, but they're all, think about how different these shows are. None of those shows are alike. I mean, you've got Beck and Old Crow, they have nothing to do with each other. Modest Mouse, nope. Haim, Alice in Chains, those shows have nothing to do with each other, and they're all playing the same venue. And they all make sense in that venue. And they're all going to, if you go to those shows, they're all going to feel like, of course they would have played here. Of course this is the right character. And they're going to give the place that character that night. I have this video on my phone that I play for people to demonstrate. I show them Zed, which is insane EDM. Everyone's going crazy. And then two nights later, the National Symphony Orchestra playing.
That's a versatile.
Yeah, and if you could see these videos back to back, it's like, I love this. This is just, that's what I live for.
That's perfect. Well, we live for you coming in here, so we can't wait to see you come back in once you're ready for those.
Well, that's why I add these things to these venues, and I don't go out of town, because, you know, I build this stuff here so I can come back in here and do these interviews.
Well, we're glad that we got the system working out here, so there we go. Thanks so much, Seth Hurwitz.
Okay, man.